This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. And to our friends in South Central Russia, a little end-of-the-world-looking event brightened their day and then spread terror across the Ural Mountains. A visible daylight, shockwave-inducing chunk of space something, size of an Olympic swimming pool, according to one report, crashed into the atmosphere today. And a lot of smartphones of people who should have been running for cover captured bits of its trajectory. How big was this belated Valentine from the galaxy that loves us so much?
Thank God. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
What do we do?
Well, not quite. We seem to have survived, but 500 people or more were reported injured in the blast wave of this speedy chunk. Shattered glass was reported over a wide area before the meteor reportedly vaporized. Online, the pictures over Yekaterinburg and Chelyabinsk, Russia, threatened to take down Gangnam Style. It takes visions of an apocalypse to defeat K-pop, I guess. Joining us now is astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, director of the Hayden Planetarium here in New York and host of Star Talk Radio. Neil, I gather you're a little bit jealous of all those video capturers there over Russia.
No, I'm glad I'm halfway around the world. Excuse me.
No, you would want to be there. You'd want to see it.
No, I mean, I know the kind of damage these things can do. And in fact, that one, the most interesting part of that video, of course, is when you see the maximum sort of air blast. And that was, when that happens, it creates a shockwave that can and does shatter glass. The Oklahoma City bombing that destroyed that building, there were shattered glass windows far from that location, and that's the devastating effect of what a shockwave can do. So even if you're not hit by the meteor itself, it can still do pretty significant damage.
So you really would have been afraid if you saw that, you know, plowing through the skies like that.
One of those, you know, brethren of those, you know, took out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, and that asteroid was about 6 miles across, something like that. These don't have to be large to be devastating to their environment, and it's primarily because they're moving so fast. That one over Russia, the Russian Academy of Sciences estimated it to be about 10 tons, and based on my knowledge of airburst, that looks about right. And 10 tons is a boulder, you know, Central Park-sized
right.
boulder.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a reminder, it's a shot across our bow. In fact, there's a fun poster on the internet that I tweeted yesterday. It says, "Asteroids, nature's way of asking you, how's that space program coming along?"
Well, before we get into that, as a physicist, I mean, you can look at that cloudburst and begin to calculate the size of this thing?
Well, it's a mass. You know how fast it's going because it's colliding with Earth. And there's sort of a minimum speed that anything will hit Earth that's coming from space. And it's about 7 miles per second. It doesn't get much slower than that when they hit. It can go higher than that, too. It can be twice that. If we are plowing into it and it's coming at us, then the closing speed can be as much as twice that. The meteors you see throughout the night, the shooting stars,
right.
those are about the size of a pea or a blueberry. And yet they become that visible, right? And occasionally, if you're an amateur astronomer and you spend a lot of time at night looking up, you'll see what are called bolides. These are a normal meteor streak that ends in an explosion. But the explosion is so high up that it's harmless and just beautiful to look at in photographs. Those are about the size of a golf ball. And so I look at this, and you sort of extrapolate up, and you get numbers around in that ballpark. But I would trust the Russian estimates. I'm saying my understanding is consistent with their actual.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not trying to outdo them. I understand
no, exactly,
that. But I'm just trying to get into the mind of an astrophysicist there whose job it is basically to watch stuff that's in various states of falling, right? I mean, that's pretty much what you do.
That's a great question. So watch this. There's some that come by that will not hurt us, like the one this afternoon. That is not touching our atmosphere at all. But like I said, it's like a shot across our bow. There's a whole other variety of asteroids that essentially skim off our atmosphere like a rock on a pond. If you've ever skipped a rock on a pond, that can happen too. And that way it doesn't actually hit us. It drops a little bit of energy into our atmosphere, but then it goes on about its appointed way.
Right. Okay. So I suspect most of these land in water because that would be the highest probability. But the Russia and Siberia
surface is water.
Yeah, right. But and Russia and Siberia has a real advantage here in that it's the largest landmass.
Exactly. So yeah, it's Pacific Ocean and then water in general. You know, the other oceans and then Siberia and then Canada. But like nobody lives in Canada, right? So for all we know, you know, this has happened often in the past decades in northern Canada. But the population density is so low, and even so, today we're fortunate that everybody's got a video camera in their smartphone. So we live in a time where rare events can actually end up looking common simply because somebody's got a camera. But the point to be made is that most of Earth's surface is not populated, and so we're missing many of these. And if you wanted to get statistics on it, the last of these that we have good data on happened in the 1990s, and there was an air blast over the airspace of Pakistan and India.
Hmm.
And that, if you remember your news stories, that was when there was delicate conversations going on about armament, nuclear armament.
Sure.
And if you didn't know that was an asteroid, that could be viewed as a first strike, because that's exactly what a nuclear weapon would look like. It would be an air blast that would be very bright. And, oh, by the way, this asteroid this afternoon, 2012 DA14 is its phone number, that asteroid, if it actually hit Earth, it would deposit 1,000 times the energy of the Hiroshima bomb.
So it could actually start World War III or World War whatever we're up to at this point. So before we go, what explodes when rock or whatever it is, substance, encounters the atmosphere when it does explode? And if something does land, how much of a scientific mission is it to get to the site of where DA-14 actually landed and figure out what it's made of?
So DA-14 won't land. This other one may have pieces that landed, but because you saw this great airburst, if you look at the videos, most of it would have sort of vaporized into the atmosphere. That's what that air blast means.
I see.
There'll be some fragments that would surely continue and land someplace very different from where the air blast was. But you ask a very important physics question. Why does a rock explode if you don't have any dynamite in it or any nuclear weaponry embedded within it? And it's very simple. This thing, the one over Russia, was traveling at 7 miles per second. If you're driving a car and you stick your hand out the window and you're going 60 miles an hour, it's hard to keep your wrist steady. The air is just pressing your hand back. Try it next time you're doing this. And that's just at 60 miles an hour. If you're going 7 miles per second, I don't care what you're made of. You hit Earth's atmosphere, it's going to feel like a brick wall. So we don't think about it that way because we move so slowly through the atmosphere. But if you're going that fast, it's like a brick wall. And if you throw something into a brick wall, it explodes like a snowball into a brick wall. It explodes. It essentially explodes.
Right.
But with much lower energy. So you scale that up, and then you get an air blast with light and heat and shock waves and all the things that do damage.
So there's no chance it was an alien landing craft with fuel aboard.
No. If it is, I want to get some of their technology because we're way behind.
There you go. Neil deGrasse Tyson, thanks so much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.